in verse 1, Mark 4. It says this, is again, he began to teach by the sea. Just as I've been saying, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, and he began, as we just said, he went through, taught them about the sower. He taught them about the grain of mustard seed. He taught them about a man who sows seed on the ground. Talks about putting your light under a basket. Teaching them the principles of faith. You know, how they are to operate in the kingdom. And that's what this is about this morning. Operating faith. Putting faith into operation. So, if Joey, we go back now to 35, which is where I wanted to get to in the first place. Verse 35, it says this, on the same day. I want you to take note of that phrase, those two, three words in that verse. On the same day. This is not next week. This is not even the next day. The same day that Jesus spent teaching these principles of faith. Teaching them how they can live and operate in God's kingdom, or God's way of doing things. So, the same day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Let us cross over to the other side. Now, how many people know that when you hear the word of God, the Lord always gives you an opportunity to respond? Don't be surprised this week, after hearing me teach this morning, that you're not presented with a few opportunities to put your faith into operation. It may be within an hour of leaving the service, you'll have an opportunity to practice your faith. Why? Because when you hear the word of God, you get an opportunity to respond. Now, you know, we're not talking about just an hour or so here. To, you know, I can just imagine Jesus, he's sitting out, he's sitting in Peter's boat, and he's teaching this multitude. And this wouldn't have just been a morning service. You know what I mean? And so when the evening come, now it's time for practice. You know, when we teach people, particularly in when they're learning a language or anything really, you know, we give them the structure of the language. And then it's practice time. You've got to know how to use it. And particularly when in school, when we teach the perhaps a verb structure or something like that, we give them the opportunity then to, they hear it, they see some examples, then it's practice. So because through practice, we learn. When we can hear lots of information, we can take in lots of information, but it's when we actually get down to doing it that it becomes real. And here we're going to see an opportunity now for the disciples to put into practice what they've been learning. And we see whether they fail or succeed. So let us cross over to the other side. Now verse 36 says this, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. You know what it's like, particularly those that live here. You know what it's like. You know how quickly the wind can whip up. You know, it could be a beautiful day and you can be on the beach or something, lying and enjoying the weather. Or you're swimming in, and all of a sudden the wind will just whip up. And you're like, oh. I don't know if we were in Valletta yesterday morning. And, you know, it was hot. And all of a sudden, almost within minutes, the temperatures just dropped during the afternoon. Yeah, and that happens. It happens here, and it happens. It was a common occurrence on the Sea of Galilee. You know, that the wind would whip up. You know, the shape of the geography of the land meant that the wind could easily come up the up the Jordan Valley and whip around, surrounded by mountains, the Sea of Galilee. You know, and it gets it, and it creates a storm, a windstorm. And this windstorm arose, and the waves began to beat in the boat. You know, the boat began to fill with water. You know, these disciples, they were doing what Jesus told them to do. Let us cross over to the other side of the lake. You found out that, you know, you believe God's telling you to do something, and you begin to step forward, and you're trusting God, we're going to go. And as soon as you start to step forward, you know, just things start to go wrong. Or things don't become quite as easy. A storm whips up. You know, the wind blows. The waves beat your boat. The water comes in. And you think, oh no! Just like these disciples. What do they say? Look at this. It says in verse 38, it says, Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care, Lord, that we are perishing? And what a stupid thing to say. Don't you... You know, even saying it now, you know, I could just... You know, looking at Jesus, waking him up, Jesus! And then looking him in the eye and saying, don't you care? How stupid. Of course he cares. No, we wouldn't dare. But we would confess it. We wouldn't dare say something like that to Jesus, but do we say it with our actions sometimes? We're in a mess. You know, we really want to say that something. You know, don't you care, but perhaps we know better. Don't you care that we're perishing? And they wake you up. You know, when I read this, and I'm sure you do, verse 38 says this. He, talk about Jesus, he was in the stern. He was in the boat. Jesus was on board. Yes, they were being obedient to Jesus. They'd gone because Jesus said, let's cross the lake. Let's go over the other side. They'd been listening to his teaching all day. Okay, maybe they were tired. Let's not be too hard on these disciples this morning. They've been listening to him teach all day. You know, we might be hearing God speak to us. We might be beginning to step out in faith, putting our faith into operation. You know, and then it starts to get a little stormy. The wind begins to blow. The rain begins to fall. The waves begin to fill the boat. And as much as we'd like, you know, we're sitting there with our little bucket trying to bail the water out of the boat. Buckets, teacups, whatever we've got. Can I give you a revelation this morning? You know, it didn't matter how much that boat filled with water, that boat wasn't going down. You know why? Jesus was in the boat. Jesus was in the boat. You know when God tells you to do something and you step out in faith and do it? Now the enemy may not like it, he may try and do everything to try and distract you and throw you off. But if you've got Jesus in the boat, you ain't going down. Amen. I apologize for my bad use of English. The boat wasn't going to sink. Why? I'll give you another revelation. No, let me, before I tell you, let's see. What were these disciples sailing in? A boat. Not much bigger than the things you see down in the harbour. Some of them maybe even smaller than some of the things you see down in the harbour. A little rowing boat. What are the little rowing boats? What do they bob along on? Water. So what were these disciples sailing on? The sea. Were they? Here's a revelation. They were doing what Jesus said. Do you know what that said? That's sailing on his word. So what do I mean, Peter? What do you mean? Okay. They were doing what he said. They were following his word. Yes, it may have been naturally on the sea. But they were sailing on his command. Sailing on his word. We're going to go on in a minute and look at somebody else. Because what is it? When Jesus woke up and... We know from this account, he actually stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And he asked the disciples a question. He said, how is it, I like the way he says this, how is it that you have no faith? Well, what are we supposed to do? The wind's blowing, the rain, or the waves are beating in the boat. And you're sleeping in... What amazes me first is how Jesus could sleep in the middle of a rough sea. You know, I remember not that long ago. Do you remember my mood? A couple of years back, we went across to Gozo. And the sea was really, really choppy. You know, couldn't even sit still, yet alone go to sleep. You know, because you sail on, all of a sudden you go like this, and then you go like this. Maybe sometimes it goes up and then it comes down. You can't even stay on the seat. You're alone asleep in the rear of the boat. And that's a great big vessel. But this would have been a little rowing boat. And here Jesus is asleep. And he asks his disciples this question. He said, how is it that you have no faith? You could just... I like to do this from time, you know, when I'm reading a situation. You're going through a storm. Jesus asks you the question, how is it that you have no faith? Do you know what he was saying to him? He says, guys, you've been listening to me all day. I've taught you the principles all day long. I started just after breakfast this morning. And we've gone through teaching after teaching. He says, and the first storm that blows, he says, come on guys, he says, come on. How is it you have no faith? Like many in the scriptures, you see, it started with Adam. You know, the disciples, at least one of them, I'm assuming that all 12 were in this vessel with him. At least one of them could have stood up and done exactly what Jesus did. Like like Adam. He should have shut it down in the Garden of Eden. He should have pointed his finger at that serpent and said, no. But you know what he did? He said, okay, dear. Don't blame Eve. A lot of people say, oh, it was the woman. But don't blame Eve. It wasn't Eve's fault. She was deceived. She was doing what she thought was right. But Adam knew better. So man, you take the blame. Amen. Come on, ladies, you should have shared, not just one. How is it you have no faith? You know, Peter, he should have stood up. But no, he didn't. Do you know of these disciples? Do you know how many of these disciples were experienced fishermen? They worked this lake every day. This was their trade. They'd been out in the sea. They'd been out in the storms. They knew what it was like. Having heard Jesus teach, they should have stood up and shut that thing down. But no. They were too busy focusing on the problem. Come with me, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. We're going to just look at Peter. In Luke 5, verse 1. Now, this is Peter, just as Jesus is just about going to call him to join the team. He's taking him on, you know. He's about to leave the fishing business. Well, fishing for fish. And go into the business of fishing for men. Luke 5 verse 1 says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And then he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. You know, here, the crowds were pressing about Jesus. Actually, it says this in the scriptures. It says, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. You know, they wanted to listen to what Jesus had to say. They'd never heard anybody speak like Jesus. And the crowds were gathering, the multitudes were gathering. And although we don't have, Luke doesn't give us what he was teaching, I've got a good idea what he was saying. Because Jesus only preached the same message. Taught people how to live in the kingdom of God. Begins with repentance, believe, and then operate the way he tells them to live. And it says two boats were standing by the lake in verse 2. I just want you to picture these two boats by the lake. Those of you here on holiday, if you get the opportunity, you must go to one of my favorite places on the island, down to the little fishing village of Mashishlok. Because there you will see boats. Well, the boats will be in the water, but you'll see the fishermen. If you go down there early enough, you'll see them washing the nets, cleaning the nets. They lay them out in the sun to dry. You know, whenever I go there, I always think of this portion of scripture. Here you have two boats. Now these two boats have been pulled up out of the sea. They were on the beach. The boats were being cleaned. They were being prepared for the next night's fishing. The fishermen were washing their nets, cleaning their nets. They were taking out all the seaweed and all the debris. Perhaps mending any snags that maybe the net had torn on a rock. This was the last job of the day. And because the disciples and the fishermen, the best time to fish is at night. You know, they've been working, they come in, this is the last job, they're doing their necessary things, then they're going to go home and sleep. They're going home to bed. You know, just imagine Peter's just getting, or Simon as he's still called here, he's just getting to the end of this task. You know, he's cleaned the nets, they've left them out to dry, and they're just tidying up. You know, we saw him rolling up the nets yesterday. You know, pack them back onto the boat, ready, so they can say, that's it guys, let's go. And then this preacher comes along and asks, Peter, can I use your boat? You know, the crowd's pressing me in here. You know, they were pushing him into the sea. You know, he had to get into a boat. And Jesus taught his disciples, or taught the crowds from this boat. And Peter's sitting there. He's listening. You know he's listening. Because he's thinking, when will this guy shut up? Come on. He's looking at his watch, you know. Of course, they didn't have watches. Yeah, he's saying, come on, I'm tired. I want to go home. I want to go to bed. Don't you know I've been up all night? And then Jesus says those famous words. Which everybody. And he said, yes! Time to go. And Jesus closes the meeting and he says a prayer. He says the benediction. And he says, Peter, or Simon, how about this for an idea? Why don't you launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch? No, he says. Verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, Peter's been listening to Jesus teach. Now, here's an opportunity for him to put what he's heard into practice. And this time, he passes the test. Well, partly. I'll explain why partly. Verse 5, Master, he says, he recognizes Jesus as, you know, a little more than the ordinary guy. Master, we toiled all night. We've been out all night. It was toil. Hard work, Jesus. Hard work. You know what I mean? Hard. Labor. Graft. He said, "Oh, we caught nothing." He said, how much, Jesus? You know? Zero. Nothing. You want me to go again? Are you crazy? I've washed the nets. I've mended. The boat's ready for tonight. You think I'm going out again? No, he didn't say that. He said, yes, he said, we've toiled all night. He says, nevertheless, at your word. Amen. Who was this Jesus? He just heard a message. At your word, I will let down the net. You think I'm putting two nets in the sea? That's what Jesus told him to do. Net in verse 4 is plural. Net in verse 5 is singular. You think I'm putting them both down, or three of them down, or however many they had. I've cleaned them. Just to humor, I can imagine talking to Andrew. Andrew, just to humor him, we'll just do one of them, you know. You know, that one there, the one that's not so good, the old one. I wonder, let me just read that verse 5 from the Amplified Translation. Because I love it in this translation. Verse 5 says, and Simon Peter answered, Master, we toiled all night exhaustingly and caught nothing in our nets. But on the ground of your word, I will lower the net again. On the ground of your word. Hang on to that statement. On the ground of your word, I will lower the net again. Talking about operating, putting faith into practice. The life of faith receives and acts on the word of God. You hear it. That's how you got born again. You heard the word of God, you received the word of God with gladness, and you acted on it, and you asked God for forgiveness. And you know what happened? The word worked. You put faith into operation, and you passed the test. Well done. Congratulations. You did it. You passed. God's word worked for you. In your faith, we hear a lot about faith. You know what faith is? In simple terms, faith is simply trusting what God says. That's it in simple terms. Trusting what God... You know, faith is not based on the way we feel. I'm glad it's not based on the way we feel. Why? These fishermen, Peter, Andrew, and no doubt James and John were there as well. They were weary and tired. They've been working all night. It's not based on how we feel. It's not based on who we are, our status in life. But you're a pastor, you're a preacher, you're a... These disciples were fishermen. They were experienced fishermen. You know, they caught nothing. But when we look at the end, when they did actually do what Jesus said, you know, they couldn't contain the fish that they caught. You know, Peter fell on his knees and repented before Jesus. Faith is not based on what we see. You've heard people say, well, I believe it if I see it. Well, that's not faith then, is it? Because you're believing something that you can physically see. Faith is not based on what we see with our physical eyes. Because they had caught nothing. And thank God for this as well. Faith is not based on our past failures. They've been out all night. They've caught nothing. They'd had a hard day at work or a hard night at work. Faith is based on what Peter says here, on the ground of your word. The ground of it. It's a solid foundation. It cannot fail, God's word. It cannot fail. We have 5 minutes, or thereabouts. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel. Because here, Matthew chapter 14. Again, we're going to look at the life of Peter. You know Peter gets a raw deal, doesn't he? We talk about Thomas, you know. I think it's a shame, actually, that we when we always talk about Thomas, we always think about Thomas is the doubter. And he's even got that name, Doubting Thomas. So, you know, Thomas was a great man of faith. You look at some of the other things he says through the Gospels. You know, come on, let's go to Jerusalem, let's die with him. He was a man of faith, a man who was willing to step up to the line. And just because of that one incident where he says, oh, unless I see with my eyes, I'm not going to believe. And Peter's a little bit like this, you know, he makes a few mistakes. And as we used to say, and I don't know whether this really translates into Maltese or the English will know, is that Peter was one of these who put his mouth into motion before he engaged his brain. You know? He spoke before he thought about it. And here we have in Matthew 14, we have an instance like that. You know, the disciples had been with Jesus by a little while by this point. You know, they'd walked with him, they'd heard him teach, they'd seen the miracles that he'd performed. And you know, in verse 22, the implication of these, the words here in verse 22, is that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He made his disciples get into the boat and go to the other side. You know, here he has given them that instruction, just like he did previously. You know, come on guys, we're going to the other side, off you go. But on this occasion, they went first. I don't know whether they ever crossed their mind. Now, how's Jesus going to get there? And they left him where he was. And in the middle of the night, as they were halfway across the lake, verse 24 says the boat was being tossed by the waves. Here we go again. A few more waves. A little bit of wind. And in the middle of the night, in the middle of the fourth watch of the night, the scripture says in verse 25 and 26, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Here we go. An opportunity to put faith into practice. They were troubled. It's a ghost. No, they didn't say that. It's a ghost! And they cried out for fear. They saw this figure coming to them on the sea. First, they couldn't wait. Is it? No, it doesn't look like the sail of a... No, it's not a sail. I've never seen anything like it. It wasn't Nessie neither. Then as soon as they cry out, Jesus speaks to them and says, cheer up! Cheer up! Be of good cheer. He says, it is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus makes himself known. I don't know whether he's still nervous here at this point, Peter. But he does like he did often. Yeah, he opened his mouth now, and he hadn't properly engaged. He hadn't got into second gear yet. He's okay, Lord. He says, "If it's you, if it's really you, then tell me to come to you." If you just hear him saying the words, they think, "Uh-oh." What have I just said? If it's really you, Lord, bid me come to you. Command, actually, command me to come to you on the water. Well, what could Jesus say to that? That's okay, guys. It's not really me. Just stay in the boat. Peter, don't be foolish. No. So Peter says, okay then. Come on. Come. Then the realization of what Peter's just said sinks in. But you know, actually, Peter stepped out of the boat. He lifted his left leg over and then his right leg, and he sat on the edge of the boat. Just, yeah. Oh, that's a bit wet. Jesus saying, come, come. And Peter stands up and he begins to walk to Jesus, putting his faith into operation. Remember what he said when he first met Jesus? On the ground. of your word. I will do what you tell me to do. You know, Peter isn't... I don't believe Peter felt the waves beneath his feet. I believe it felt like he was walking on rock. You know why? Because he's walking on the word of God here. He's walking on that command to come. Yes, his feet may have been in contact with the water in the natural, but by faith he was walking solid ground. Solid ground. You know, quite a few years ago, Jane and I, we went across from Felixstowe to Zeebrugge on the ferry. We went to Bruges for the day. And going was great. But coming back, the sea was a little choppy. I must confess, I was going a little green. I don't normally look green, but I did that day. I woke up because it was a nighttime crossing. I tried to sleep, and I woke up. I was feeling. I needed to get off that boat. You know, we docked, and I started to walk down the gangplank to where the ferry had docked in Felixstowe when we got back. And you know, the moment my feet hit the solid ground, that feeling went. Why? Because I'm on something firm, something secure. You know, I imagine that's just what Peter was feeling. No, perhaps feeling a little bit, the butterflies were flying around inside his stomach, and as he began to stand on the waves, felt like he was standing on solid ground. But then he did something really foolish. He started to walk to Jesus, but he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he looked at the waves. He looked back at Jesus. He looked at the waves. Then he suddenly realized that his feet were a little wet. And he thinks, "You stupid fool." And he begins to sink. And then he cries out. I won't ask you to do it, Ruth, like Pastor does. But he cries out, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me." The moment his focus changed, while he was on the word of God, he was secure. While he was walking on God's word, he could walk the waves, walk the sea. But the moment he shifts his focus from what he should be looking at, and he looks at the problems, he looks at the wind, he looks at the waves, he looks at the bumpy sea, his focus changes and he begins to sink. Now let me encourage you, brothers and sisters, in conclusion, to keep your focus on the word of God. When you put your faith into operation, walk on the word, on what God says. Why? Because you will not sink. When you're sailing your boat, your life, you go by God's word, that boat will not go down. It might take a battering. It's not going to be easy. I'm not saying that the life of faith is sublime, hassle-free. But you won't sink. You won't go down. I'm going to conclude with one more scripture. Matthew 7, please, Joe. Matthew 7, verse 24. And then after I've read this, we'll read it. I'll read it to you in the Amplified Translation as well. Therefore, Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, or the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall. Again, let me read that to you in the Amplified Translation. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, and wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. You notice Jesus talks about his word and obedience to his word as the rock. You know, we can walk on the rock. We can walk on the word. And it will not let us down. So when we put our faith into practice, when you have opportunity this week to put your faith into practice, stick to the word of God. It will not let you down. Amen. Let's pray.